How many of you remember as a child playing the game Follow the Leader? Would you? Some of you have remember that. And the object of the game, you picked somebody to be the leader, right? And then you got to do what they do. If they're walking along a wall, you've got to walk behind them on that wall, do exactly what they do. If they're swinging on the swing and swing up and jump off, you got to swing on the swing and jump off. And if you don't follow the leader, you're what? You're out. You're out of the game. Now, depending on who was the leader, that game could be really fun, could be boring, could be exciting, could be dangerous. If you got one of those kids, you know, like your mom talked about, well, if Joey jumped off a cliff, would you jump off? We had a guy in our neighborhood, and you might not know this about me, but I grew up with Michael Keaton. You know Batman? I grew up with him. He was in our neighborhood, and he was crazy. I mean, if he was the leader, you didn't want to play that game. You didn't want to play at all if he was the leader, because he was crazy even back then. But the object of the game was follow the leader. Do exactly what the leader did. This morning, we're going to look at leadership. Aaron, where are you? Someplace back there. We're going to look at leadership in the church and how people in the church are to respond to leadership. I've entitled the sermon, now I want you to think, Follow the Leader. Follow the Leader. Take your Bibles and open them up to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. We are looking in this chapter at evidences of faith. You remember we said that when you have true, listen, biblical faith, it's going to show up on the outside. Come on. Amen. Amen. It's going to show up on that. It's going to be evidenced in your life. And we've already taken a look. If you have a walking in true biblical faith, you're going to love Christians. You're going to love the brethren. You're going to love the church. If you're walking in true biblical faith, we saw that. We saw that if you're walking in true biblical faith, you're going to honor marriage the way God says it's to be. You're going to honor marriage. In fact, you are going to be faithful. If you're walking in faith, walking in true biblical faith, you are going to be faithful to your spouse. You're going to be faithful. The marriage bed is to be undefiled. You're going to be faithful to your marriage vows. Now, again, we're all at different places here, right? But starting from this point, you want to walk in biblical faith, you have got to honor marriage. And we saw also, if you're walking in true biblical faith, it's going to show up in the fact that you are learning to be content. Learning not to just, I need this, and I need that, and I need this. Really, there's only one thing we need. Jesus. That's all we need. We don't need anything else. But, you know, our lifestyle, if we're walking in faith, is not going to be characterized by covetousness, the love of money. In fact, I believe that we're going to use the stuff that God gives us to leverage the kingdom, to spread God's gospel. That's what it's about. If we're walking in biblical faith, last week we saw that if we're walking in biblical faith, it's going to be evidenced in grateful praise and practical thanksgiving or thanksgiving, right? If we're walking by faith, we're going to continually offer up a sacrifice of praise unto God, fruit of lips that give thanks unto His name, acknowledge His name, confess His name, and we're going to be doing good. We're going to be going around doing good, sharing. Because you know why? Because with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. When you're walking by faith, you know what you're at? You're out to please God. It's not about pleasing me. It's not about pleasing the pastor or pleasing yourself. We're here for a purpose, and that is to please and honor and glorify God. That's what it's about. That's biblical faith. Now, this morning, we're going to look at what biblical faith looks like when it comes to the people of the church and the leadership of the church. And as I went through chapter 13, I saw a number of exhortations, a number of instructions to the people with regard to leadership in the church. And with that, there's also implications for the leaders and how leadership is to be carried out within the body of Christ. And that's what we want to look at today. What does the Bible say about how the people of the church are to respond to leadership? Number one on your outline, it says that we are to remember our leaders and imitate their faith. See, look at verse 7 of chapter 13. Look what it says there. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. First of all, people are to remember their leaders. Oh, I remember that when I was in the hospital, the leaders didn't come to visit me. I remember. I remember that one time, that leader was not sensitive to my need. I remember that the leader got it wrong. That's not what it's saying here. Because when it says remember, it's meaning remember them fondly. Remember the good things. Remember the good things about the leaders that have led you. Remember that, it says. Remember the times that they've sacrificed or done something good. Remember the, in fact, when it says here, remember those who led you, it may be implying that these leaders that they were to remember had given their lives in martyrdom for the church. Remember their sacrifice. Remember them fondly. Remember that they taught you the word of God. Aaron, they taught you the word of God. Who, it says here, who spoke the word of God to you? To be, folks, to be in a church that honors, teaches the word of God, and to have leaders committed to seeing that that takes place is a high privilege. Thank you, Aaron. Amen. It is. Remember the results, the outcome of their conduct, or the King James Version, the conversation. Consider the results of their conduct. Let me just say something. There are no perfect leaders in this church. In fact, wait a second. Take that back. There's one perfect leader. He's found in verse 8. Look at verse 8. Who is it? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always faithful. He always does it right. He is always perfect. He's the only perfect leader. There's no other perfect leaders in the church. No other perfect leaders, but he is the perfect leader. But look at your leaders in the church. Look at the overall conduct, how your leaders are seeking Christ, and remember them. And imitate their faith. Do you see that there? The word, the King James has follow. That's the, we get our English word mimic from that Greek word. Watch the way your leaders have faith and mimic their faith. Do as they do, as they listen, as they follow the leader, you follow your leaders. That's what he's saying here. That's what we're supposed to do in the church. Now, implications for church leaders. And here I'm going to speak primarily to the elders, but I'm also speaking to the deacons and trustees, primarily to elders. This presupposes that we are leading. That we are leading. You see, the elders of the church are to prayerfully seek God's direction for the church and be out in front of God's sheep. Now, folks, that doesn't always happen in churches. Many churches, the tail wags the dog. I remember seeing a picture once. And maybe you saw it. It shows a bunch of little ducklings going in every direction. The cat said, lead, follow, or get out of the way. And you know what? Leaders in a church, I'm speaking to the leaders, we need to lead. We need to find out where God wants us to go, and we need to be out in front of the church. We need to do what we want the people of the church to do. A second thing, as far as leadership, we're to teach the Word of God. We are to be teaching the Word of God. Shepherds are to lead the sheep, but they're also to feed the sheep. And it's our job, elders, to teach and preach the eternal Word of God in this church. And to see that every ministry, whether it's from the pulpit, or in the Sunday school classes, or in the Bible studies, or in the small groups, are centered on the Word of God. Centered on the Word of God. You see, it's our job to see that no false doctrine gets into this church. Look down at verse 9. See what he says there? Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings. You know, in the first century, there were varied and strange teachings going on. I'll tell you what, how about today? Oh, my, oh my, oh my. In the 21st century, there is so much junk out there. There is so much false teaching. And we shouldn't be surprised, should we? Because one of the major signs of end times is, according to Matthew 24, many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. That's why, folks, it's important for every one of us to read your Bible. Know the Scriptures. That's why it's important, elders of the church especially, we make sure that everything that's taught in this church is according to the Word of God. The teaching the Word of God. This implies that we are living lives worth following. It tells the people, the church, elder people, follow them, mimic them. Oh my. That means that we better be living the life that's worth mimicking. Shepherds are to lead. Not by compulsion. We are not to be drill sergeants. We are not to be dictators. We're not the bosses. We're lead by example. Oh, man. Now I'm making myself feel bad. We've got to, if you've got to lead a life, you're not going to be perfect. No one even comes close. But we got to be aware that the people are called to follow our example. So we better live a life worthy of following. And then number four, we're to live a life of faith. It says mimic their faith. That people look at our lives. You know what they need to see? Faith. They need to see Jesus. Amen. Thank you. I don't know who said that, but you're right. Jesus. They need to see Jesus. But it's a life of faith. We need to evidence faith like in Hebrews 13. You know what the people should see in our lives, leaders? We love people. We love them. We love the people of the church. We love them. And I'll tell you what, if you don't love the people of the church, don't become a leader. Or if you are a leader, get out of leadership. If you don't like the smell of sheep, don't become a shepherd. It's true. It's true. We love people. You know what they should see in our life? We honor marriage. They should see that we love our spouse. They should see that we honor, we serve our spouse. That's what they should see in our marriage, that we are faithful to our marriage vows. I'll tell you, that's big. They should see in our life that we're not out to get stuff. Because the stuff of this world is passing away. It's going to all burn up. They should see that we are trying to take what God has given to us and leverage it for the kingdom of God. And we should take the stuff that we have and be investing it in the kingdom business. That's what they should see. Not that, man, I want to get bigger and better. They shouldn't see that. That's the world. And they should see that we are praising God in what? No matter what. No matter how we feel. Sometimes we don't feel good. But you know what? We should continually offer up a sacrifice of praise unto God, the fruit of lips that give thanks unto his name. In everything, give thanks. They should see that in the leader. See? And when they see that in the leader, then they'll remember their leaders and they'll mimic their faith. That's number one. Number two, how do you respond to leadership? We are to obey and submit to our leaders. Obey and submit. Look at verse 17. 17. Look what it says there. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. First of all, people are to obey the leaders. John MacArthur comments on that. He says, in many churches today, the congregation rules the leaders. This sort of government is foreign to the New Testament. Church leaders are not to be tyrants because they do not rule for themselves but for God. But the command is unqualified. Obey your leaders and submit to them. MacArthur says that command is unqualified. But we assume, listen, and maybe this is a big assumption, that no church leader would ever ask you to do something illegal, immoral, against your conscience, or against the scriptures. Now that might be a big assumption, because in some churches, that's not the case. If any church leader in any church ever asks you to do something that violates scripture, don't do it. Obey the leader and not man. That's the way it is. You say unqualified, and it is. Other than that, if they're not asking you to do something illegal, immoral, against your conscience, or something that violates scripture, then you are to obey the leaders of the church. That's what scripture says. That's what it says here. You must follow the leader. We have to obey the godly leadership. But not only that, submit yourself to them. Now that's different. Now we're getting into attitude. Attitude. Submit yourself to them. The word here for submit is a word that's only used one time in the New Testament. And I thought it's kind of funny because it says it literally means to give your seat to or to make room for retiring from a seat. Now, knowing how Christians are and knowing that you all have your seat, And heaven help the person, the visitor, that walks in and sits in your seat. I've seen people look at... my seat! Somebody said last Wednesday night, they said, Pastor, we know how we can pay off the new church. We'll sell seats. We're not selling seats. But what... What is this talking about? To give your seat to yield to. To yield. By the way, if somebody comes in as a visitor and wants to sit in your seat, yield your seat. But you are to submit to the leadership. Some people in some churches, and I'm not saying this church, but some churches, if the leadership says, we want to go this way, they automatically say what? No, we want to go this way. You know what I call them? Sanctified obstructionists. And usually you get at least one or two of those in every church. If the leadership says this is the way, they want to go this way. Another name for those people are a pain in the neck. Now when I say that, or when the Bible says you should submit to your leadership, it does not mean that you have to be a bunch of yes people. It doesn't mean that everything the elders say, rubber stamp. It doesn't mean that you cannot have input. It doesn't even mean that you cannot disagree. We can disagree. There's no problem with that. But the attitude. What this means is that you recognize, and we recognize that spiritual leadership in the church has the authority of God. God has set up leaders in the church as his authorities within the body of Christ. As a church, we need to have a cooperative spirit, a yielding spirit, and that we work together. We work along with the leaders of the church, because you know what? We're on the same team. We're here to see the same thing accomplished. And that the kingdom would be advanced, that souls would be saved, and that Jesus Christ would be glorified. That's why we're here. And we need to work together to do that. So we need to obey, but we also need to submit. And let them do this, it says. Do what? Lead. Let them lead with joy and not with grief. We have the same Lord and the same goal. People are not to undermine leadership. We're to allow the leaders to do their job with joy. Now, I'll tell you what. As I look at the future, the way things are going, I'll tell you what, pastors, pardon me, and he's not here so I can talk about him. I'm going to tell you, it's not easy to be a leader in a church today. I thank God for this church, because this church is a blessing. But I'm going to tell you, it's not easy to be a leader in the church today. And as I look into the future, it's going to take a lot of grace to be that leader in God's church. But the Bible says, listen, let the leaders lead with joy and not with grief, because it would be unprofitable for who? You. See, when people oppose the leadership of the church, godly leadership of the church, I'll tell you what, the church suffers. That's why he says, listen, obey your leaders and submit yourself to them. Let them lead with joy and not with grief. Now, what are the implications for church leaders? Elders, we have a very serious job. Sobering responsibility to lead Christ's church. Did you see it there in verse 17? We are called to watch over the souls. Elders, watch over the souls. the people of this church. As those who will give an account. I'll tell you what, when I read that, I shake in my shoes. I really do. We are to watch over the people of this church, not to criticize, not to condemn, not to discourage, but to encourage and build up and equip them for life and ministry. We're to have an abiding concern for the spiritual welfare of all the people that God has placed us in our care. And we are to, listen, have a shepherd's heart. See that word watch? It says keep watch. You know, that word comes from a word that means sleepless. It pictures a shepherd staying up all night to watch over his sheep, to protect them from the wolves or predators that would attack them at night. Tell you, there's a lot of predators out there. And we've got to be vigilant leaders. Watchful leaders. Because we're going to give an account. Now let me tell you, everybody here, listen. Romans 14:12, you know what it says? That one day, every one of us is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's if you're a Christian. If you're here and a non-Christian, you're going to stand at the white throne judgment. And you don't want to be there. But if you're a Christian, we will all stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and every one of us will give an account of himself to the Lord. See, after all that God has done for us, after Jesus died on the cross, took every ounce of our punishment upon himself that we might be forgiven, that he put his righteousness into our life and we're justified in Christ, after all that, what'd we do? What do we do with that? What do we do in light of the gospel? Christ will give an account. But leaders will give a special account, not only for ourselves, but for the people of God. Again, I preach this, and I'll tell you what, I shake in my boots. There was a man who came to Charles Spurgeon. And he said, Mr. Spurgeon, I really envy you. I wish I had a church your size. Charles Spurgeon had thousands in his church. He said, you're so lucky, you're so blessed, you have church of thousands. And wise old Charles Spurgeon looked at him and said, son, how many do you have in your church? He was a pastor. He said, I only have 65. And he said, son, 65 souls are enough to give an account for on the day of judgment. Oh, I don't want this church to grow. No. But did you see it? Do you see it? This is serious stuff. Church leadership is not something to just, you know, hey, you know, who should we get for an elder? Anybody want to volunteer? Well, I like Harry over here. He's a nice guy. And no. This is serious stuff. When the church, where you have a church where there's leaders that are filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in faith, trying to seek and follow the leader, Jesus Christ, leading in love by example and watching over the sheep, and you have people responding in faith and the attitude of submission, yielding and obeying leadership, you know what's going to happen? God's going to bless that church. I don't know, but that, I think, that church is going to explode. Because that's how God designed it to be. Well, quickly. I'm going to get these last two very quickly. But number three, How do you respond to leadership? Greet your leaders. Isn't that interesting? Verse 24. Look what he says in verse 24. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those in Italy greet you. Greet your leaders. Make an effort to seek out your leaders in the church. Talk with them. There should never be a leader and people in the church that are not getting along. If you're not getting along with a leader, or leader, if you're not getting along with somebody in church, go get it worked out. Go kneel down and say, brother, we got to get this worked out. Get on your knees and get it worked out. Amen. Be on talking terms with your leaders. Encourage them. Don't distance yourself from them. Express your appreciation. Put this verse down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Here's what Paul says. But we request of you, brother, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you went up to one of the Faith Bible Fellowship leaders and expressed your appreciation? I don't count, because people do that all the time, and I appreciate that. But I'm talking about your elders, your deacons, your trustees. When's the last time? Or sent them a card and said, you know, thank you for what you do. Now, let me ask another question. Do you know your leaders? Now, some of you are new, so I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just trying to make everybody else feel bad. Do you know your leaders? Well, by the time you leave today, you're going to know your leaders. I'll just leave it at that. And leaders, that means, you know what this means? We're among the people. It's important that you just don't come if you're a leader and you're here and you run out after church. Be with your people. Go up to them. Can I pray with you in something? Is there something? What's going on in your life? Pray with people. Go up and give them a hug, just whatever. But you need to be here. Are fellowships important? Oh, potluck fellowship. Oh, potluck's important. Are fellowships, they are important. Why are they important? Because that gives you opportunity to get with your people. Get with the people at the church. Get to know people, and people can get to know you. So leaders, we need to be accessible. We need to be friendly. We need to be approachable. Now, number four, and this is the end here, we need to pray for our leaders. Look at verses 18 and 19. The writer says, pray for us, for we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. And I urge you all the more to do this, so that I may be restored to you the sooner. The writer asked the people there to pray for him. Paul, how many times do you read the epistles? He says, pray for me, or pray for us. Verse 19, I urge you, King James, I beseech you all the more to do this. Pray for the leaders. Again, isn't it easy to criticize? Isn't it easy to be a Monday morning quarterback? It is. But if you see something, listen, you see something wrong in my life or in one of the leaders' lives, you know, the best thing you can do is pray. You know, some churches see something wrong in their pastor and they kick out the pastor. Why not just pray for the pastor, let God change him, and then you have your pastor? Please. There are two victories that Satan loves to win. One, he loves to destroy marriages, families. And the other, listen to me, is to take down a leader. Because if he takes down a leader, listen to me, it's a trophy kill. It can affect a whole church. I'm going to tell you two stories. These are true stories. It's a lady named Dorothy Cedars, Dottie Cedars. She was the first, or one of the first, I think it's, she was the first, but one of the missionaries that was sent out from the chapel in Akron. Dorothy worked or ministered with a group, SIM, Sudan Interior Missions. And she was decades on the field, decades in Africa, ministering. When Dorothy came home, she came home on furloughs. She at one time, this is about 20 years ago, she would come to this church. She would go to the chapel, but she liked this church. She said, "You preach the word of God here." And she'd come. And I would talk to Dottie, and she would say, "Pastor, I'm praying for you." And I said, "Well, thank you, Dottie. I'll tell you why I'm praying for you." And she told me this story. She said, "You know, Pastor, I travel a lot on airplanes. And every time I travel on an airplane, before I get on that airplane, I say, Lord, put somebody beside me, in the seat beside me, that I can share Jesus with. Somebody that needs Jesus." She said, "I pray that every time." She said, "This one time I prayed that. And on the airplane, walks into the airplane, this man in a suit and tie with a big black book under his arm. He walks back the aisle, and here he's her seatmate. He's the one in the seat beside her. And she said, my first thought was, Lord, you sent me a pastor. Why would you do that? But she said, I looked at him, he sat down, and I said this to him, is that a Bible? And his response kind of shocked her, because he said, sort of. She said, sort of. And then he explained, it was a satanic Bible. And he was a high priest in the church of Satan. I tell you, you got to watch what you pray when you pray for a seatmate. Well, they started talking to each other. She started telling about Jesus. He said, listen, I want to tell you what we're doing in the church of Satan. We are praying for the destruction of pastors' homes. We are praying for leadership to fall in the churches and for the destruction of leaders' homes. And Dorothy said, well, we are praying for our pastors and our leaders, and we're praying for protection for them and that they'll be full of the Holy Spirit, and we're praying for our leaders. And then he said, yeah, but my God's stronger than your God. And she said, afraid not. My God's stronger than your God. And she said, ever since that experience, Pastor, I pray for leadership in the church. Oh my. That's important, isn't it? Yes. And then, when I was in seminary, last year seminary, we had been in a church for over 3 years. And the pastor of the church, oh my, what a man of God. A man, I'll tell you, he could preach. I mean, he could lay down a sermon. Man, he could preach. And the Bible would just, I mean, just came alive. He one of the best preachers and teachers I have ever sat under. This man had a family, a young family, a wife, and 3 children. And I'll never forget the night I was sitting at my desk where I worked, and the phone rang. And I answered it, and it was Linda. And I could tell when I answered it, something was wrong. And she said, Les, something terrible has happened. I said, what? 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 She said, Pastor left his family and ran away with somebody in the church. You know what my response was? Who's spreading that lie? That's what I said to her. Who's spreading that lie? And she said, Les, it's true. It is true. The head elder of the church just shared with me. And you know what? It was. I never would have thought that this man could fall. He was so spiritual. In fact, as we as a church looked at it afterwards, you know what we found? Everybody thought that. So nobody was praying for our pastor and for the leadership. Pray for your leaders. And leaders, what does that say to us? We've got to be humble enough to say, pray for me. I've got feet of clay. Nobody is above temptation. Nobody is above falling. And we need to pray for our leaders. Remember your leaders. Imitate their faith. Obey and submit to your leaders. Greet all of your leaders. Pray for your leaders. If we do that, and the leadership is keeping their eyes on the Lord and following the leader, I'll tell you what, God's going to bless this church. Now, we're going to do something. I'm going to have who's coming forward to lead in a song right now. We're going to sing one verse, and I want you to remain seated as a congregation. We're going to sing one verse of Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. And then we're going to do something, okay? So, lead us.